Welcome to Grand Heron International's Let's Rumble, Let's Ramble, our monthly live broadcast where two of our professional coaches select a relevant and thought-provoking topic to rumble over. And of course, we broadcast that live on LinkedIn, YouTube, and Facebook. But if you're listening to this episode, it's because it's been converted into an audio podcast for your listening pleasure. We hope that you will enjoy today's topic.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. So, hello, everybody. My name is Gabriella Nitu, and you are listening to Let's Ramble Live, recorded on November 24th, 2022. This is our fourth episode where we will discuss what leadership can look like beyond a specific type of leader. I am a professional certified coach with the International Coaching Federation and an associate coach with Grand Heron International. My colleague joining me is Maryse Mata, who is also an associate coach with me at Grand Heron International and an associate certified coach with the International Coaching Federation. Together, we will look at the aspects and questions we should be asking when talking about leadership, especially in today's ever-changing environment. Before getting more in detail on the subject, allow us to give you a little bit of an overview of what the leadership is. Maryse, you want to start or do you want me to take it on?
Take it on and I'll just chime in as we go along.
Perfect then. So as we all know, in its simplest form, leadership, what does it mean? Is influencing other people to follow. That is actually a good thing to follow. Therefore, anyone who can influence people to follow them has leadership qualities. Isn't that right?
Okay.
I knew it. Okay, so there we go.
Like old times, Gabs, really back like old times when we can go on and on and on chatting about various issues and just picking each other brain. Actually, leadership is the literature, it is described as the capacity of influencing, gathering people, getting them on board in order to follow and to contribute to a common goal. So in order for us to have leadership present in the technical sense of the term, we need to have a leader, we need to have followers or collaborators that we prefer to call, and we need to have a common shared goal. All this together puts us in a leadership situation or a leadership role. Now, as you said, leadership is not just strictly reserved for those, and you know, the C-suite or the high position. We have to make a distinction between, yes, the formal leaders with their position and all the informal leaders that have an immense contribution within the organization, within the teams. It is not always the one, the star, the one who shines the brightest and who speaks the more, the one who's in the spotlight. It's not the only leader on a team.
And you're absolutely right, Maryse, but let me give you a different perspective, because leadership means different things to different people, different cultures, and in different situations. So it's such a multifaceted role. So how do we really know when a leader, when we're faced with a leader?
Oof, okay. So okay. You know what? In that perspective, what I find is the most challenging and the most difficult is we're looking as human, you know, in the literature, in pop culture, in you know, all the social media, we're looking for black and white. It's this or that. It's this way or that way. But you know what? There's so many nuances. There's so many things that go into it that we have to dose it. We have to look at it differently. Now, how do we know we're facing a leader? How do we not know that we're facing a leader? What is it? What is it that we're looking for? What is it that we're trying to describe within that leadership label? What it? Yeah, you know? So that's, for you, what does that mean?
What does it mean? Look, if I'm thinking now about effective leadership, That enables followers to succeed. As you were telling us before, it doesn't matter at what level. And I know we are used of seeing leaders as those who work in defined leadership positions, in corporations, more or less. However, leadership, as you were saying, happens at all level, within organizations, okay, society, everywhere.
At home, so, at sports, with friends. So let's define
absolutely
the context we're talking about. Now, you mentioned effective leadership. Okay, fine. I know it's a buzzword. What does it mean, effective leadership? If it's not effective, it's not leadership.
Is that so? So let's try to define together effective leadership. And thank you for bearing it with us. Of course, it's a ramble today. So Marisa and I were rambling. And for those of us who really know us, know that 30 minutes might not be enough for us to actually ramble about this. But joke aside, how do we define effective leadership, Marisa? What is effective leadership? I would say is, as I was saying, is the one that enables followers to succeed. That, again, is a bit broad. Okay, so it says directions, I would say. It builds a vision. And the one that I actually like, it adapts as circumstances require. I would say the leadership is about mapping out where you need to go to win as a team or an organization. I would say it's dynamic, exciting, inspiring. Does that cut it for you?
Every other style of leadership. Every style of leadership needs to set direction. Every other style of leadership needs to bring people on board to achieve the common goal. Every style of leadership is supposed to get you, motivate you some way, somehow, well or not well, to get something done. So my issue is, in front of that word leadership, we have plastered all kinds of adjectives. Moral, ethical, effective, and it murks the whole situation, like the whole not the panorama, the whole scene, if we can say,
spectrum.
You know? Not just a spectrum. It really murks the whole environment of what leadership is. Where essentially, if we really bring it back to basic, there's just il y a plein de déclinaisons. I'm sorry, the words are coming in French. Many cascading different types of leadership, and it goes on in ramifications in many, many different directions. But for the sake of our discussion, let's bring it back to to the three or four distinctive and well-known leadership style, being it the transactional leader, the transformational leader, and my personal favorite, the servant leader.
And so, actually, I like another one. I actually like the relationship, the relational leadership.
Okay, wait a minute. So how does that make it different from all the others? Every leadership style is somehow a relational issue. Leadership is relation between humans. It's what happens between us. So,
but you know what, Maurice? Remember, that's why we said we're going to talk about leadership beyond the style of leadership.
Exactly.
And that's how we got about it. However, you said something that I'm going to go back to it and maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more. You said leadership in the end is about going back to basics. Basics. How do we define basics in leadership? And if you remember, we were having so many conversations about this, and we were talking about the greatest leaders of our times or ancient times. And did they know they were leaders? Absolutely not. They were just leading. So what
they
exactly
were just doing what they were supposed to do.
But how do we define going back to basics? And what does that even mean in leadership? I could give you my insight on it. and then I'll turn it to you. I don't know, basics. It's all about human connections. It's all about how do we influence others. It's all about values and how do we put those values to work for us and for the ones that follow us. So I don't know, add to it.
For me, when I say going back to basics, is first of all, let's stop that chatter. Let's stop that noise around that word leadership. Relational, task-oriented, there's so many out there. Moral, ethical, spiritual, everything you can think of has become that little, you know, differentiator, that tiny little thing that allows people to go off on a tangent and talk to leadership. When I say bring it back to basics, is really bring it back to essentially a few styles of leadership beyond the leader, but you cannot not put the human within leadership. So when I say, let's go back to basics, for me, the basics is, like you said it earlier, to reconnect, not to the other, but first to reconnect with ourselves. I always tell my students when I'm teaching, I said, okay, guys, everybody expects me. I walk in the classroom and everybody's expecting me to have the holy grail about, you know, leadership. They all expect me by the end of the lecture to give them, you know, the formula, the magic formula that's going to turn them into a great, the greatest leader. And I always tell them, if you want to be a good leader, focus on becoming a good human being first. I said, because no matter what I tell you in this lecture, no matter what theory I give you, no matter how I tell you to do it, in a crisis situation, it is who you are that's going to guide you. It is who you are that is your guiding light, your guiding star, your North Star to handle a crisis situation. And it's in those moments that we see leaders shine.
You but know what?
What are your values? You said values earlier. Absolutely. What are your values? What do you hold dear?
And you know what, Maryse? It's you made me think when you said, who are you? And going back to basics is about being a kinder person. And I'm going back to values. And I'm going to share with everybody one point that us as coaches get a lot when we talk to leaders. And that means every level of leadership when we coach. When we ask, who are you? The majority of times we get something about the position, the title, the career. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that is not who we are as a person. So to your point, Maryse, maybe leadership is about going back to those basics about, let's try to figure out who we are as individuals. Empathy, thank you very much. Thank you.
Authenticity, kindness, humanity, ethics, care, all those words for me are necessary. Stewardship. I mean, we can go on and on and talk. I mean, what does ego, where does ego come into play in leadership? Why are you a leader? Why do you want to be in that position? What's your why? Is it to look good because you want to achieve? Or is it something that you want to contribute, you want to serve, you know?
That's a very good point, Maryse.
There is a lot. We have a question here. Sorry.
Didn't see it.
You didn't see it. I just did. And I'm sorry, I'm interrupting only because it's so current to what we were talking. The question is, from an anonymous YouTube viewer, how does one focus on being a better human to become a better leader? I think I'm a good person, but how do I connect that with being a better leader?
That is such a good question. Thank you, whoever sent that. So I don't know, Maryse, you want to take a stab at it or?
I've been talking a lot. How about you taking a stab at it and then I'll chime in.
It's I won't say it's an easy task, or maybe it's very easy. Depends how you look at it. When we talk about being a better person or a kinder person, and Maryse was talking about empathy. When you are trying to become a better person, and that involves everything. I'm going back to the values and everything. That really cascades into what you do as a leader. That really cascades into being a role model and people really following you for what you stand for. So I would say by becoming a better person, and I'm going back to my question, who are we? Maybe thinking really deep about what do we stand for? What are our values and what is our vision? What do we want to accomplish in life, in a corporation, as performance, or anything for that matter? When we become very clear, when we get clarity about all that, people that have the same values and visions will follow because we are clear about where we want to go and how do we want to get there. They will follow us on that journey. So let's see Marisa's point of view.
Well, okay, when I mention about becoming a better person, it's about really focusing on our growth as individuals. What is holding us back? What is preventing us from having that true heart-to-heart connection with the other? What is triggering us in certain situation and preventing us from going towards the other with empathy, with heart, with understanding, and with compassion? What is it? So becoming a better human is being able to withstand the pressure, to be able to balance what's happening on the outside, what's happening in the corporate world, what is happening, what are the demands of the organization, and also being able to balance it out with our relationship to one another. And that happens through growth. I mean, it's not a coincidence that servant leadership is my personal favorite. And it's the one that I work on and research on and write and start to write about. It's really the leadership style that is tied to our personal growth and self-development. And this is within the broad definition, because there's still no cold hard definition, and I don't think there will ever be one about servant leadership. But Greenleaf in 1970, when he started talking and philosophizing and thinking, he was not a scholar, he was one of the top executives at AT&T, and he's the one noticing how the world was coming apart, all the corruption, corporate that was going on, you know, in the wrong direction, Vietnam War. What is it that is going to keep our humanity from keep going? And that is how that term came along, servant leadership. And actually, what also triggered his reasoning was after reading a book by Norman Hess called The Journey to the Far East. And it was all about that, the growth, the personal growth of individuals. And this is how what servant leadership is all about. So leadership is really tied at large to our personal growth, to our journey as a human being.
I see we have a question. I was going to go back to the growth, but let's see the question. I believe one of the dynamics that confound the definition of leadership is that the word is used with the word manage. Oh, thank you so much. Part of a manager's job is to lead. However, a leader's job may not be to manage in the pure sense of the word, thoughts. Thank you so much. This is what we've been talking, Marisa and I, for as long as we've known each other. So I could see she's all excited about. So I am going to let her answer because it's really on the tip of her tongue. So go, Marisa. It's all yours.
So you know what? Thank you, Gabs. Thank you, partner. So, okay. You know what? I'm going to make it overly simplified, okay? But with that oversimplification, it's going to give us a pretty good direction. Management is all about the doing. Management is technical, okay? It's planning, organizing, directing, controlling, is everything technical to get the job done. Leadership is being, so it's who you are, along with the doing. So it's the combination of two, because you can have a good leader, but if there's no action, if there's nothing to take it forward, if there are no followers, there's not much leadership. Because remember, at the very beginning, I said the four the four components that are necessary for leadership. So a common goal is one of them, and people is one of them.
And you know what? As Maurice was talking, it made me think that it is true. People really put an equal between the manager and the leader. But as Maurice very well defined it, that's that question of who we are comes again into the discussion. So I think this is one point that you're going to hear a lot, us as coaches, who we are as an individual. It kind of goes back into being a leader after you're done with the doing of the very technical part. I was thinking, yeah, okay.
I just have another little one also to add. I mean, that will also help. A management position is a position by authority. By definition, it's authority, where leadership, like you mentioned it several times at the beginning, is about influence. So one is influence, one is authority.
One manages
subordinates. So one leads collaborator, one manages subordinates. Even, you know, the subordinates.
However, Maurice, we're not gonna get into much detail today, because I do believe to the person that asked the questions benefit, there is a part even in the new management style of management that it's not necessarily only hierarchical. Okay. So yes, we're evolving like in anything else these days. We're disruptive. We are challenged to change everything we knew about everything, management, leadership. So all that being said, yes, it's the easier way of having those two definitions kind of clear, but they kind of interchange. And when I just want to go back a little bit, if you allow me, you said something about growth, personal growth, either as an individual, as a leader, whatever it is. And it made me think of our discussion, Marie, is when we were talking about liquid leadership, and we were having a very interesting conversation. What is that liquid? Yeah, of course, it's a very clear term, but what exactly does it mean? And what I found, and it goes back to that growth you're talking about, because it forces us, it's not only very flexible, very adaptable to new situation. It's really the way I see it is challenging our own frames of reference, our own views of the world. And we need to be prepared to see it from a different angle. And to me, that is part of our growth as individuals and as leaders. And I'm not sure if it's a term that a lot of people have heard, but I personally like it very much. So I wanted to kind of bring it back to the growth you were talking about.
Yeah.
We have another question.
What should I do when I want to lead without an efficient position or a title, but my director's leadership style doesn't truly allow me to show up as a leader for others? Gabs, this one's for you.
Thank you so much. I don't know if the word or the verb allow is really something that is really well said. That is definitely a good question. Thank you very much, Tasby. Because the way I see it as a leader, and we won't have the time to go into, are the leaders born or made? That's another nice discussion that Maurice and I are having all the time. But going back to your question, I don't think somebody has to allow you to be a leader. You have to really be clear about not interfering with the direction that your organization through your leader is giving about the vision of the company or where the goals, the performance is going. But as an individual, you could lead your peers by or even influence them by modeling where you want to be, by how you tackle what you've been given by your leader as a goal, by how you solve the problems, by really being a role model. I think you don't have to, and this is my personal opinion, I don't think you have to be allowed to be a leader. You just grow every day a little bit and to the point where you are leading others given a direction that your organization has put out. Mariz?
You know what? It makes me think of an exercise I had done one time as I was giving a workshop. That exercise, I had them by groups of four, and they had a piece of paper on the floor, and do you see it? A one pen. I don't know where the pen is. Anyway, it's holding one pen. If somebody could see my pen. And there it is. So one pen. On that pen, there were four people, so I had a string. Four strings attached, and each person held a string. And they had, before starting the exercise, they had to decide what letter or what shape they were going to draw on the paper with that marker, controlling it with the strings. Each one is controlling. Pulling or letting go of the string will control the direction of the pen. And it was a brouhaha. Do it this way. No, don't pull. Yes, pull. But it was completely chaotic, rightfully so. And at the end of the debrief, one of the girls tells me, you know, while everybody was shouting, pulling, and making noise, I sat very quietly observing and pulling a little tighter and a little harder, or letting go at the right time, I actually influenced the process a lot more than if I was making as much noise, wanting to take that front and that center stage, that front position to assert myself as a leader. I said that, and that was her biggest takeaway. It was how, without having any formal authority, by keeping quiet, really observing, focusing on what she has to do, focusing on the big picture, was actually able to influence that ecosystem, that little system, more than had she, you know, talked about it, wanting to become a leader. She just just did it. So that makes me think it's really that informal way of influencing. It's what we bring to the team, what we bring to the whole environment.
Thank you so much, Mariz. And I don't want to interrupt you because I know we can go on and on and on, but we're almost done. There's 1 minute left. So I just want us to really take everybody out and just thank them for their attention. So it's all yours.
So just a little parting word. It's not black and white. It's never black and white. There's always many nuances that we've got to keep in mind when we talk about leadership. It's a fascinating topic. We're still in academia.
Back to basics.
About it. Back to basics. Yes, back to basics. Let's connect to our humanity. Let's remember what unites us as people, as humans, rather than what divides us. So I think it's time to wrap it up. Thank you, everyone, for being here with us, for your very good and thoughtful questions. Gabs, always fun to be together and to ramble. Please visit us at grandheroninternational.com, where you can find not only this episode, but previous ones to download free of cost. Very special thanks to all of our GHI colleagues who work tirelessly at making this show possible. This is Mariz Mata and Gabby Nitu, Gabriella, and you have been listening to Let's Ramble, brought to you by Grand Heron International.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.